Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, we use different formats on the Scripture on Creation radio program, but one of the main ones is a question and answer format.
That's right, Scott. I think interacting with our audience is important, and a good way to do that is by receiving and then addressing questions from listeners.
And we've not done this in quite a while, but you want to motivate our listeners to send in a question related to creation, the Bible, or science.
And here's the incentive. If you send in a question that I use on the program, I'll send you a complimentary copy of the little book we've talked about in the last couple of programs, Things That Creepeth, by Jeff Tischler.
Ah, the beetle book.
Yes, the fascinating little book, all about those little creatures that make up the majority of animal species on Earth, beetles. You know, we've gotten lots of requests for Things That Creepeth, and so I thought giving a copy to listeners who send in a question that I can use on the Scripture on Creation program might encourage people to ask a question. And what's the best way to ask their question, Scott?
By sending an email to scripture@scriptureoncreation.org. And please include with your question your name and the city you live in. If Dr. Scripture uses your question, we'll send you the book as our thanks.
So thank you, Scott. And with the thought of encouraging listeners to send in their questions, for today's program, we're going to re-air an excellent example of the kind of question I love to entertain. So let's hear it, Scott.
Today, Dr. Scripture, we have a question from a listener. Her name is Joyce Dolby in Warren, Indiana, and her question is short and to the point.
Well, good. I like that kind of interaction with the audience, and I like short and to the point questions. What is it, Scott?
The question is, why are there fish without eyes in caves?
Wow. I can tell you this much. We know that God didn't create them that way. And this has a very interesting ramification, really, for natural selection. That is the mechanism by which evolutionists say we get new information, we get improvements of the kinds.
And, doesn't look like an improvement
to
me.
Yeah, it's not much of an improvement, is it? And as far as the question goes, why are there fish without eyes in caves? The reason that these fish don't have eyes is basically because they don't need them. Living in a cave where there truly is absolutely no light, these fish are able to survive and to, you know, find food and so forth in the darkness, but they're not using any kind of light sensory input to find each other or to find their food. And it's very fascinating that this kind of change in the organism occurs, and it really is explained by natural selection. The thing is, generally, natural selection is considered to be, you know, the strongest survive. You know, you get some particular trait, and then because you've got some ability that your neighbor doesn't have, you produce more offspring and you're able to then survive better than your neighbor. Well, that's not the explanation for why these fish without eyes are able to survive better than fish without them. Essentially, what's happening here is information that is very, very complex is being lost in various populations of these fish that live in these caves. And because they lose this information, it doesn't mean that they can't survive. And the information required for eyesight is very, very, very complex. Now, the loss of this information, in my opinion, poses perhaps the most difficult question for evolution in explaining how in the world does evolution actually occur. Mm-hmm. Because what is needed for the advancement of any kind of a species into something more complex is new information. Let's imagine some creature that can't see or can't even sense light. How, genetically speaking, does DNA come into existence that suddenly gives an organism the ability to sense light? It needs sensory input. It needs nerves. It needs the ability to then integrate that information through brain cells to go, oh, here's light. I will respond away from it or to it. And here now, we've got these fish that have lost the ability to see. They've completely lost their eyes. That isn't some new information. That actually is the ability lost. This has been actually proven to be the case. I'm going to refer you now to some research that was done back in the beginning of 2008. The researcher's name was Richard Borowski at the New York University. He published his results in a journal called Current Biology, Volume 18, issue number 1 in 2008. And I want to read to you a little bit from that journal. But first, let me summarize what happened. It's really, really fascinating. It was really cool research, if you ask me. He took some fish from a population of these blind cave fish from one totally different population in one cave, and then completely unrelated, another population from another cave, and he bred them. Mm-hmm. Both of these populations of fish had no eyes. And when he bred them, lo and behold, 40% of the offspring from these two populations had eyes.
So it sounds like they lost their eyes from inbreeding in the first place.
It could be. Basically, what happened was some of them mutated, and over a period of time, that whole inbred population within that cave, the mutation got to the point where the information was lost for these eyes. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happened in another population of these cave fish. But when he interbred them from these two different populations, some of them, 40%, like I said, got their eyes back. This is really, really fascinating. And this is what Professor Borowski said, who published this information in Current Biology. Quote, "Evolution has many ways to accomplish the same end result, which in the case of cavefish is blindness."
That's evolution?
Well, it sounds like de-evolution, but they would consider this evolution. But of course, this is the problem. It's not evolution coming from new sources of information. This is information that's already existent. And what happened as these two different populations bred and then some fish got their eyes back, it showed that the mutations that occurred in one population were different and they produced loss of eyes than the mutations that had occurred and caused the loss of eyes in a different population. So this is a classic example of how through natural selection, what happens is information is lost and evolution still is unable to explain how information can be gained out of nothing. So evolution has no way of explaining where this new information, brand new, de novo actually is a scientific term, de novo information can come from. But creation, of course, has a perfectly good explanation. It comes from the designer who placed the information there originally. So what we understand is the only way these fish were able to see again was that the genetic information for eyes and all the brain wiring was available in the union of genes from the two populations that had different mutations. The 40% who could see were the lucky ones who got the needed information combined from their blind parents. So in this particular case, the fish that didn't need their eyes mutated and it didn't really matter. In other words, they didn't use it and so they lost it.
Ah.
But in a normal setting, you need to be able to see. And so natural selection is going to keep those mutations out of the population. Now, for any potential listener that would like a little more in-depth information about this particular issue with the cavefish, let me refer you to a very excellent article published in the journal Creation Matters. Creation Matters. It was volume 13, number 1, published in the January-February issue of 2008. Again, Creation Matters, volume 13. And now what I'd like to consider for the rest of the program today, Scott, is something that happens frequently when we consider things that happen in creation, or put in other words, when we think about nature, and we're not talking about Mother Nature with the capital M, it's creation, that yes. God has produced. In any event, it seems like when we learn something about how things work in nature, a lot of times we're able to draw a spiritual parallel.
That's true.
And learn something about ourselves or something that will apply to our Christian experience.
Well, Jesus did that a lot with his parables. He talked about things that occurred in nature to teach us all kinds of, spiritual lessons.
That's
like
right.
Things reproduce after their own kind, like, by their fruit, you shall know them.
That's
the
right.
Law of biogenesis.
We know that a peach produces a peach.
Yes.
Jesus teaches us a spiritual lesson from that. That's right.
And he talked about the farmer going out to sow a seed in different soils, yielding different harvests, and comparing sheep to people.
Yeah, a lot of the creatures that God created, he would use their characteristics to teach us lessons about ourselves. So those, and there are many other good examples, Scott. And in the case that we've been considering with these fish that lost their eyes, I think that there's a very pronounced and even sobering spiritual parallel we can apply to our lives. What I'm thinking about is how Jesus told his disciples a parable about the use of talents or resources that God gives us and what happens when we use them for the advancement of his kingdom or when we don't use them. The parable is in Matthew chapter 25, And in this parable, the setup is the master gives his servants talents. He gives one 5 talents, another 2 talents, another 1 talent, and he tells them to use them while he's gone.
Now, what do you mean by talents?
Generally, we think of a talent as, you know, some ability to play the piano or play golf, which I had better talent at. but in this particular case, a talent specifically was a weight of metal, a weight of money. So you could have a talent of silver or a talent of gold. But the bottom line is,
talk about resources.
Yeah, right. The bottom line was a talent in biblical days was a lot of money. And so in this particular case, he was giving his servants a lot of money to use. And the point was he wanted them to invest it and do something with it for the advancement of his kingdom. And so we pick up reading in Matthew chapter 25, verse 19. It says, "After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy slave. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." That's the end of the parable. And the lesson that I think that we can learn from this is, you know, if you don't use it, you will lose it. The Lord gives us abilities. And here we can really think of this talent as representing not only money, but the abilities, the talents that the Lord has given us. And what the Lord expects us to do is to use those blessings, to use those talents for his glory, for the advancement of his kingdom. And if we don't use it, we indeed will lose it. It's a sobering thing. Person out there listening today, has the Lord given you abilities that you're not using for his glory? Sometimes we may use excuses like, well, you know, it's not that much, and what good will it do? Well, here, the one who only had 1 felt that that was an excuse to not do anything. But the Lord expects us to use his talents. And in the case of these fish, they're in these dark caves. They don't need their eyes. And by natural selection, by the way nature works, they lost those abilities to even see. Well, in the cave, supposedly, it didn't much matter. But the spiritual lesson that we should take from this, I think, is that when the Lord has given us abilities, when he's given us talents, we need to use them for his glory, for the advancement of his kingdom, or we very well may lose it. What did the word say? For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.